Radio Wombat.
Really? Do this or not to do that. The queer part of this is that they not only want others to believe this, but they even believe it themselves. But the real truth of the matter is that they deceive themselves and mistake policy for principle. When crooks are square with anyone, it is because it is in their own interest to be so. It is good policy. But it ceases to be to their own interest to be square with one another, then it becomes time to change their tactics. And they are not slow in doing it either. It makes no difference to them who they snitch on. No matter if they have been loyal to each other through a whole lifetime as partners and friends. No matter if they send their friends to prison, or to hell by way of the rope or chair. That cuts no ice. They are looking out for their own precious skin. If they can benefit themselves at the expense of someone else, regardless of what the others have to suffer for their treachery, they will sure break the law of the underworld and open up and sing grand opera. I have known cases where men have been loyal pals and friends, have gone through every crime on the calendar. Murders, rapes, robberies, in jails and in freedom, in health and in sickness, riches and starvation and privation. Years and years together, and always loyal and square with each other. But when the time came for the test of the first law of nature, self-preservation, everything went overboard. They all squeal sometimes. Big crooks and little crooks. They all squeal when it is in their interest to do so. The greatest crooks I ever knew or ever heard of, they all do it. I have met every kind of crook. I have worked and lived both with and against them. Proper's the same. I know their tricks inside and out. I have associated with every sort, both in prison and on the street. Their works and thoughts are like an open book to me. I know them well to my sorrow. I have been mixed up in every kind of a crooked deal there is, with every kind of crook there is. Con men and gang men, prowlers and boosters, pickup artists, can opener artists, and sometimes face artists. Petermen and boxmen, paper hangers and crepe hangers, hustlers and rustlers, pimps and McGimps, hookers from the big town, and hookers from the stick. Big shots and pipers, dynamiters and sodomiters, fruiters and foofters, big bats and gay cats, shipmen and gunmen, needle pumpers and snow snifters, hotheads and jugheads, wise guys and dumbbells, bootleggers and rum runners, wolves and gunsels, dips and short car gamblers, home guards and boomers, booze fighters and cop fighters, and last but not least, muzzlers and guzzlers. I have put in 29 years in a game of hooks and crooks. There is no angle of this game that I haven't tried at some time or another. I have met thousands and thousands of my kind in every different degree, from the kingpins and the biggest of big shots, down to the greasiest of grease balls. And without exception, one and all insist on deluding everybody and themselves that they are square, that they have in their makeup the sparks of principle and honor, that they keep the code of the underworld, that they never squeal. Anything and everything against anybody and everybody is quite all right and permissible at any time or place, but the one rule that must be kept regardless of anything else is that they must never squeal. No matter what happens, no matter what pressure is brought to bear on them to get them to open up and squeal, if the coppers work the old Mother of Jesus racket on them or give them the third degree, a wrong grasp with a big stretch and stir, or even the rope or the chair, still they are supposed to keep their trap shut and never squeal. I have never met anyone who ever admitted that they were wrong, that they were school pigeons, squealers, or rats. They all insist that they are right guys and square crooks. Even when they are caught right in the act of going on the stand as a witness for the state against their pals, they won't admit it. One and all insist that they are men of honor, that they act from principle only. They all swear that they are loyal to the first law of the code of the underworld. In theory, this seems to be the case. The average person really believes this to be true. Most crooks believe it also. The average superficial observer only sees a very small part. He sees nothing of what goes on behind the scenes and under the surface. The actual facts of the matter are that none of the crooks are square with one another or with anybody. They are not square with the coppers, and the coppers are not square with them. The coppers are a pretty dumb lot. Most of them are well supplied with big flat feet and a big fat head, which is usually sadly lacking in gray matter. The coppers I have known, and I've known plenty of them, too damn many in fact, were and are a bunch of dumbbells who couldn't track an elephant in the snowbank unless they first had some rat or school pigeon to lead them to it and point it out. Most of them have plenty of brawn, but few have any brain. With all of the forces of the law behind the coppers, all the steel bars and stone walls, their guns and clubs, all would avail them nothing if it wasn't for their rats and school pigeons. The third degree and the rats are the best and worst weapons that the cops have. Yet they will never admit that they have or use either. Therefore, it stands to reason that the coppers and the crooks are all working together, and all double-crossing each other at the same time. And yet, each and all of them are always yelping about their honor and their great principles. Honor among thieves, is the bump.
In diverse places, snow and ice and great drought shall there be, and many dissensions amongst the peoples, blasphemy, iniquity, envy and villainy, indolence, pride and intemperance, so that every man shall speak that which pleaseth him. And my priests shall not have peace amongst themselves, but shall sacrifice unto me with deceitful mind. Therefore will I not look upon them. Then shall the priests behold the people departing from the house of the Lord, and turning unto the world, and setting up landmarks in the house of God. And they shall claim for themselves many things and places that were lost, and that shall be subject unto Caesar, as also they were aforetime, giving poll taxes of the cities, even gold and silver. And the chief men of the city shall be condemned, and their substance brought into the treasury of the kings, and they shall be filled. For there shall be great disturbance throughout all the people, and death also. The house of the Lord shall be desolate, and their altars shall be abhorred, so that spiders weave their webs therein. The place of holiness too shall be corrupted, the priesthood polluted. Agony shall increase, virtue shall be overcome, joy perish, and gladness depart. In those days evil shall abound, there shall be respecters of persons. Hymns shall cease out of the house of the Lord, truth shall be no more. Covetousness shall abound amongst the priests, an upright man shall not be found. On a sun there shall arise near the last time a king, a lover of the law, who shall hold rule not for long. He shall leave two sons. The first is named of the first letter A, the second of the eighth letter H. The first shall die before the second. Thereafter shall arise two princes to oppress the nations, under whose hands there shall be a very great famine in the right-hand part of the east, so that nation shall rise up against nation and be driven out from their own borders. Again, another king shall arise, a crafty man, and shall command a golden image of Caesar to be made. Wherefore martyrdom shall abound. Then shall faith return unto the servants of the Lord, and holiness shall be multiplied, and agony increase. The mountains shall be comforted, and shall drop down sweetness of fire from the face, that the number of the saints may be accomplished. After a little space there shall arise another king out of the east, a lover of the law, who shall cause all good things and necessary to abound in the house of the Lord. He shall show mercy unto the widows and to the needy, and command a royal gift to be given unto the priests. In his days shall be abundance of all things. And after that again, another king shall arise in the southern part of the world, and shall hold rule but a little space, in whose days the treasury shall fall because of the wages of soldiers, so that the substance of all the aid shall be commanded and given to the king. Thereafter shall be plenty of corn and wine and oil, and great dearness of money, so that the substance of gold and silver shall be given for corn, and there shall be great deer. At that time shall be very great risings of the sea, so that no man shall tell news to any man. The kings of the earth and the princes and the captains shall be troubled, and no man shall speak freely. Grey hairs shall be seen upon boys, and the young shall not give place unto the aged. After that shall arise yet another king, a crafty man, who shall hold rule for a short space, in whose days there shall be all manner of evils, even the death of the race of men from the east even unto Babylon. and thereafter death and famine and sword in the land of Canaan, even unto Rome. Then shall all the fountains of waters and wells boil over, and be turned into blood, into dust and blood. The heavens shall be moved, the stars shall fall upon the earth. The sun shall be cut in half like the moon, and the moon shall not give her light. There shall be great signs and wonders in those days when Antichrist draweth near. These are the signs unto them that dwell in the earth. In those days the pains of great travail shall come upon them. In those days when Antichrist now draweth near, these are the signs. Woe unto them that dwell on the earth. In those days great pains shall come. Woe unto them that build, for they shall not inhabit. Woe unto them that break up the fallow, for they shall labour without
when cause. When I was a child,
woe
the many
unto
of their
them
mother
that make marriages, for unto
desolation
shall they beget sons. Woe
when
unto
I was a child in the palace of my father,
or field to field for all. Themselves while time
silence,
for they shall be condemned.
Silence.
Woe unto them that
turn
away from the poor when he asketh.
But when I was a child in the belly
I am
of my
son.
Father, when I was a child in the palace of my father,
I am the Father most high. I am the Father of all spirits.
Is there